Blog Talk Radio.
Question everything and anything, please. You guys are welcome to Third Rail Radio with your host, Anthony and Cadillac.
Cadillac, how are you tonight, man?
I am doing pretty well.
Hey, I just asked a quick question in the chat. I checked out that Derek J. Freeman's radio show. And his platform was really smooth. I didn't know if it was Google Hangout and YouTube embedded into his own website or what, but it's pretty smooth. It works well. I'll look more into it. But everybody, welcome to Holy Smokes. It's going to be a really busy Should be a fast-paced episode here of Third Rail Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for the support. Thanks for showing up, as they say. Man, a lot of interesting things to talk about tonight. I think probably start with the one that is the most intriguing in my book, Dalek. Just to jump right into it, is this missing airline, flight 370, Malaysian Airlines, but it went missing 3 days ago now, over 100 hours ago, still the story is changing, almost on the hour, almost right on schedule with the news cycle. And the mainstream media is, just hammering it home, even though they don't have anything new to report. They just kind of spin the same thing into a million different directions. And, of course, kind of losing the, at the center of it, that there's 230 people at this point presumed dead, but... the fucking plane landed. I think the plane did land, but that's what I was getting at, kind of. But I think, if you look at the chronological timing of when the flight disappeared and since it was first reported, all the way until just a few, probably about an hour and a half ago, it was reported, this morning it was reported by the Wall Street Journal that the plane had flown on for up to 5 hours, no less than 4 more hours after it had lost contact with the tower, and this brought it its path all the way west in the Straits of Malacca. And so now you've gone almost 700 miles to the west-northwest. Mind you, a lot of this water is tropical water. It's crystal clear. And where they started searching, the depths were between 160 and 300 feet. Which isn't very deep for the type of technology they're using to look for the plane. But anyway, it's all kind of a horse and pony show. I'm trying not to crack up with the snakes on the plane. But as far as the mainstream media goes, what we do know that has kind of fallen out of the common narrative, the common story, is that there were some pretty highly trained physicists or particle accelerator operating specialists, engineers, high-level engineers on the plane. And we also know that planes, especially a newer Boeing, a newer 777, like the model that is missing, they have redundant automated systems to make sure things like this, don't occur. About an hour and a half ago, it was reported again by the Wall Street Journal that one transponder was turned off at 107. That's the transponder that automatically, or the beacon that automatically, I'll get to the Rolls Royce, or at least my theory of speculation on the Rolls Royce data. So one transponder, the one that communicated directly to the tower in Kuala Lumpur, was turned off at 107, and the one that did the sort of the GPS beacon, the more geographical beacon, transponder was turned off at 121. If you've delve into, you know, what happened on September 11th. You're probably a low-level expert on plane communication systems. And actions, no, you're not wrong. There has been and there continues to be a weak signal that that communicates technical data and performance data from the engine right back to the Rolls-Royce plant where the engine is made and the engineers in the plant. And that ping is going off and until I last checked was continuing to go off, but because it was going off, it's been going off in an inconsistent manner. It hasn't been ruled out, but it looks like it could be an anomaly. But yeah, Boeing does. They do have that. That's a pretty cool system that Rolls-Royce, you know, can talk to their to these engines that are keeping these planes aloft, you know, through through technology. So the transponders, you do have to take everything with this story with a grain of salt, but if the transponders were turned off at all without some sort of, you know, electrical blackout that shorted out, you know, three or four redundant safety systems, then somebody manually turned off the transponder. The transponder on a 777, both of them are located in the tail of the plane. Somebody would have to know how to go back there, physically walk back there, and turn them off. So now you're looking at somebody with training and a pilot. Of course, this is all speculation, but you know, at the risk of sounding insensitive to the people on the plane, it's pretty fascinating. You know, that we can drone, you know, an Al Qaeda, you know, a rat in an Al Qaeda mud hut in Yemen, or allegedly. But we can't find this, you know, this plane with all the, and there's been so many sort of misdirections. And I'm, you know, definitely putting on my tinfoil hat here a little bit, but I was a big fan of the Lost television episode. I have to, you know, admit that. You know, I think there is so little information about the passengers for a couple reasons. Definitely respect for the families. Now it's a melee at the airport. Yet there were the 20 employees for the same company. They won't find them, bro. They're gone. Yes, from a semiconductor company. Think going to back to the United States from who knows where, but fact of the matter is that they have reported very little since the first day or two about those people, what company they were, you know, working for, where they were coming from, especially. So it's going to be interesting to see. Dalek, have you been following this story at all in your busy schedule?
Yeah, somewhat to a certain extent. Personally, wasn't there also like, guys and technical kind of guys on that plane? Out of curiosity.
Yes, there were these guys that were. I saw one article called them physicists, cutting edge physicists. I think the reality is that they were, you know, high-level engineers, but who were specialists at running and operating proton accelerators and, you know, neutron colliders, things like CERN and the one out there in California, which I think is now defunct. But they were definitely, because, what are you led to believe when something goes so quiet and the rest of the story is so absurd? It's interesting that the guys who were using stolen passports were from Iran. What a perfect revenge for Stuxnet to kidnap 20, highly trained U.S. Proton accelerator / nuclear engineers and make your own yellow cake. That would be true revenge. They got him out there in some deserted island digging plutonium.
Oh yeah, wouldn't you know? Say that. Yeah, isn't it great? I mean, now if this really did happen, I mean, we gotta also understand that it's probably also a coup because a long time ago, there was around the 1950s, the 1950s, 1940s, around there, BP, British Petroleum, didn't get their sanctions on Iran in order to actually drill out the oil. So what happened is that, British Petroleum and the SAS kind of went up down to the CIA and asked them if they could help us out, and that's what was Operation Ajax. And right after Ahim Mossadegh went out of power and probably put in another dude. I forgot the other guy's name, but what happened is they're like, the U.S. said, oh my goodness, you know what, we're going to actually keep this, so thank you, and then just a lot of crap come around over here, and unfortunately, they brought their collectivizing the oil in Iran. So what happened is that the U.S. was mad, and now we have this conflict because we need to go on Iran and, stop them from their nuclear attack and stuff. Well, you know what? They just want the oil. So,
you bring up a great point. Love for world peace. Posted in the chat room that the 20 passengers were involved in cutting-edge electronic technology used for defense purposes. I'm not sure if that I'd say the cloak works. I'm not sure if that's true or if that's verifiable, but that is something to the effect that I heard the first couple days. And then I kind of moved on. Wouldn't that be spectacular? I mean, this is the bottom line with that plane. Whatever direction they want to throw you in, if those transponders were turned off with any other way but some catastrophic, highly unlikely, electronic failure, then somebody manually turned them off and the plane's, gone. It is a little tinfoily, but you can't have, and especially if it holds up that the transponders were turned off at two different times. Probably the most plausible, answer, if that was the case, that the pilot and the co-pilot were in cahoots and maybe they're seeking asylum. It may not be the nefarious black ops, spy ops, invisible black helicopters that I may be alluding to. It could be, I don't know. But to turn two transponders off at two different times has to be done by human hand, and we could leave it at that. And speaking of Mossadegh, well, why don't we do this? What we're going to do is... let's do this, Dalek. I'm going to run through what we'll talk about. If anybody wants to call in and join, that would be awesome. We'll move on from the plane for a little bit. For a little lulls, I reported Tom Ryan is a racist rebel, if you want to call it. Or excuse me, not Tom Ryan, Paul Ryan. is it Paul Ryan? Yeah, Paul Ryan, the vice presidential candidate. I called my ACLU chapter and reported him as a racist. and then we'll jump to Ukraine. And if people want to call in and talk about that, tweet that out. You know, it's pretty complicated in some ways. In some ways, it's a throwback, you know, to something I was accustomed to growing up with. Speaking of Mossadegh, Dalek, then we'll touch on like the operating manual they're using, you know, which comes from Milk Friedman and like an early iteration of the neocons. And actually, I think Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, and Cheney were part of that group that overthrew Allende in Chile.
Yeah, they did actually.
So we can talk about the playbook and where, like, the oligarchs, like the Russian guys that got loaded after Gorbachev fell, you know, where do they stand? And poor Ukraine stuck between Iran and Iraq, not literally, figuratively. They have a lot of natural gas. They have a lot of grain. We can talk about that. Why don't you play a tune? I'll tweet out a couple tweets, call on in, talk about anything you want. It doesn't have to be any of those subjects. Something a little more folly is always welcome. But that's what I'm seeing out my window right now. Dalek, take it away, brother.
Okay, so today we are going to listen to the Boondocks intro. I would like to also say, call in now, 646-929-1480. Now back to this wonderful, wonderful team. commentating on the wildest things. You're listening to Third Rail Radio. Call in now, 647-291-480. Now back to the show.
Wow, what a genius song selection that was, man. That was very enjoyable. Thanks, man. And that,
yeah,
and that
it
little
was pretty much it.
And that little interlude was very subtle. It was well done, man. That was
Thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, that was great. All right, so now back to serious business. You know, it's interesting because there's I think nine places where this operating manual that was written. What, in 52, I think it began, at University of Chicago, specifically at the Chicago School of Economics, the head of the Chicago School of Economics, Milt Friedman, sort of an Ayn Rand capitalist, survival of the fittest, Darwinian capitalist, but also a... you know, had this weird divine right chip on his shoulder, self-righteous and probably megalomaniacal type of individual. And he was, he was hired by the administration at the time to put together a team of the first, what's kind of been become known as jackals to go in and subvert the democratically elected left-leaning leader of Chile at the time and replace him with one of our thugs. And what's astonishing right now in the Ukraine is how apparent that the plays have become and that the anticipation of each play by the people who fill the roles, the pre-designated roles, the bad guy, in this case Putin, the pawn, in this case Ukraine, they can start to preempt the, start to preempt the moves of the imperialist playbook, and in Russia, what I find one of the most confusing things about what's going on in the Ukraine and sort of how it's been, literally played by both sides of two much more powerful entities. Into a civil war right between our eyes, and it's nothing new. I think the press coverage on it is unique for a couple of reasons. One reason is since the Maidan in Kiev a few weeks ago ended, we haven't seen any of these apocalyptic dystopian scenes playing out on YouTube or on the news of black clad sort of paramilitary guys heaving Molotovs and wielding chains against riot clad and huge shield wielding police. In fact, what's been going on in Crimea, for the most part, has been, for the most part, civil up until this point. I'm not sure where it'll go. But what's unique is that there has been more than usual, I'm not saying complete, but more than usual coverage, both from media outlets and also cell phone and sort of live streaming coverage. And so we're seeing the action, so to speak, right up front and center. It's the usual suspects, the the IMF, the European Central Bank,
the World Bank. It's everything, you know, just try and get the money, trying to take all the resources and just suck them all up instead of, you know, just trying to let people actually use their own capital and use their own markets and try to not really isolate them or even help them. I mean, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, let, like, other countries, like, use their own markets, try to make more try to let them do more exports and do a little bit of imports, because an economy basically right now is actually measured by its imports, not its exports, which is actually really bad. Now in China, like, so far right now what you're seeing is, like, now it's, instead of the whole exporting position, it's going down to an importing position. So there's going to be a lot of businesses, there's going to be a lot of companies that will actually say, you know what, we should actually isolate ourselves and also bring in more products, and then more businesses will go down to that extent. Also, CNY Rebel is on the line.
All right. Rebel, what's up, man?
What's going on, Vince?
you may have sped down the wrong number.
Son of a bitch. Isn't this the Vince in the Bay Love Half Hour?
This is the Love Half Hour, indeed. Now that you're here, it is.
Good. This is Vince in the Bay and Ron Brenn, the Love Half Hour Vince in the Bay show.
This is Ron Brenn speaking now.
Excellent. Hi Ron. Hi Vince. My question is for Ron. When I go to have sex with my girlfriend, she wants to use my finger instead of my penis. I was just wondering why was that, and what can I do to fix that? Thanks, guys.
What does she want to use?
She wants to use my finger, my middle finger, instead of using my penis. I just wanted to know why that was and what I can do to fix that. Thanks, guys.
Well, without trying to sound like I'm on the attack, you might lack a little size. Down there in between the legs. There are some surgeries you could look into. There are also some sort of snake oil salesman regimens that I've seen advertised here and there on the web.
I've gotten these emails about making my penis larger. Should I try them? I was always told that they don't work.
Well, here's my rule of thumb with those. If they want money up front, then they definitely work. So that's a pretty good way to gauge it. If they want $19.99 or, you know, $9.99 up front, you know, for you to go to the website then to order, then that's a pretty good sign that you're dealing with a legitimate product and a wholesome company. So,
well,
you know,
unfortunately, I don't have any money left. I gave $18,000 to an Egyptian prince, but in 3 to 6 months, I'm expecting $220,000 back on that. So I'm just waiting on that money to move on with my life. I'm going to get a girl that appreciates the size of my penis and doesn't exploit me for the terrible radio host that I am. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy, man.
Also, now, Rebel, I also wanted to say one thing. You can actually get, like, one of these hollow strap-ons that you can actually, there's pretty much nothing inside, so then you can put your dingleberry inside, and then kind of surprise her with something bigger. So yeah, it's around like kind of like the sex toy shops or whatnot.
I'm hung like Newport the horse. Fuck you guys.
Oh
Everyone listening right now, tweet at Becklina13 and ask her about my wiener. She loves that kind of thing.
Ask me about my wiener.
You're going to be provoking pictures if you do that. I just want to warn you.
I'm going to be provoking massive text messages. Is what I'm going to be provoking. What's going on, guys? What are we talking about? Are we talking about planes? I want to know. What I really want to know is where Sue Basco is hiding Flight 370.
She definitely jacked it. Her and JoJo jacked it. Probably up in Saskatchewan somewhere would be my best guess.
What I kind of figured happened was the flight took off, okay? It only got about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes into its flight, and it received over its transponder a cease and desist flying order from Sue Basco, okay? And now what happened was they got scared, couldn't get a hold of their Jewish lawyers, so what happened was they actually had to land the plane in the ocean. And I believe it is being stored in an underground lair that Sue Basco and her associates actually own in that underground lair called the Legion of Doom. And I'm pretty sure that's where it is.
I think that's as good a speculation as any right there, man. I mean, a cease and desist order from Sue Basco would certainly make me belly land my 777 in a shark-infested water somewhere immediately.
And what I'm about to say is, just in case Sue is listening, is purely opinion, not fact. It's not defamatory. It's not slander. But I'm almost certain that inside of that temple that I believe that he owns, all 230 passengers are now slaves of hers who are mining the underground caverns of the ocean for Jew gold.
I think that's just probably right on the money and well said.
I want to know why the Wall Street Journal hasn't picked up on that.
Because they're worried of a lawsuit, I think. They're worried of libel.
You know, and I also thought of this. What if Sue Basco was part of the Umbrella Corporation and put in the H virus into other people to encode them so then they can actually bring a big viral outbreak?
That's another possibility. Another possibility. Speaking of AIDS, there was the first ever very rare case of female to female AIDS viral transmission a couple months ago, which is odd. It's hard to picture that happening, but you know, stranger things have happened. expect an Excel document. A little thing on Sue Basco. If you have a real attorney call her, she will never, ever, ever bother you again. Period.
Really?
Yes. I mean, if you have a real lawyer who knows how to articulate himself and speak legalese in jurisprudence, and she will not return phone calls. She's the first female AIDS survivor. I can't confirm nor deny that wholly, nor are these blog talk radios viewpoint. They're mine and solely mine alone. So there's my disclaimer.
You're get sued.
Yeah, get sued.
You're fucked. Rest in peace. You're fucked.
It's nice having fun with the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, while we're at it, Israeli did nothing wrong. Jews did 9/11, and I hate niggers.
And there's Mr. Rebel, baby. Wave the flag.
Yeah, but yeah.
And I don't want to give those two unmentionables any more 15 minutes. Let's see. Why don't we jump to Paul Ryan? Who as a politician, this is kind of a good place to jump. Who as a politician, I don't have a lot of no love lost for him. But I don't think his comments today, and if you didn't hear what he said, he essentially said something to the effect that the system of the safety net, the social safety net that we have in place right now is just perpetuates the cycle of poverty in the inner cities. And because he said inner cities, people on the left especially made the jump that he was talking specifically about black people. And it's a shame because it is a good transition to talk about this, because this is what this kind of polarization by the media does, is the gentleman, regardless of what you think about him as a politician or whatever, what he said is based in reality. We have a social safety net that is by design built to keep you in it once you're in it, and it's also it's designed to do it intergenerationally. So to come out and say that and then be labeled a racist or more racist than he's already been labeled, I know nothing about him as a person, so I couldn't make a claim one way or another. And I guess some people would say that's a financially conservative statement, but it's not a socially conservative statement. It's not like saying that a woman can't have an abortion. It's that what he said is based in the fabric of our culture and our society. People make the immediate jump that he said inner city, and so therefore he is speaking almost wholly about black people. That's sort of a projection of this neoliberal knee-jerking to anything. There's no question Paul Ryan is a maniac ideologue with power lust. But at the same time, this is my point, to polarize everything that an individual, I mean, for the record, I think anybody who gets into politics these days does it because they are a maniacal ideologue with power lust, and they do it to get rich. We've never had more millionaires in the House and in the Senate. Not even since the days of J.P. Morgan and Warburg and, the Rockefellers when they sat in the House and the Senate. We have more millionaires now than during the Industrial Revolution. Back to my point, to sort of use Paul Ryan as a lightning rod, by the left leaning or the left media, it does no service. It does no service to anybody, unless you're really just trying to pigeonhole them into the stereotypical Tea Partier, which he is. My point, I guess, is a little lost on just how the media will, completely push one viewpoint that somebody who has a history already has a label, they'll push that viewpoint to sort of further cubbyhole them for their own, agendas.
And one more thing I wanted to say to interject. I mean, once you're in the whole safety net and, like, the Social Security and the food stamps and all the great stuff that the government actually kind of takes the money away and gives it to you, you're pretty much hooked into that. You're just, there's this really nice, good old little worm on a hook, and then you're just hot, like, right there, and it's really hard to get out. I from personal experience, and I bet from other people, it is absolutely hard to get off, like, the safety net. I mean, it's really hard, and I.
It is, and Rebel, I know you hate the safety net.
I love fishing. I blame Danica Patrick mainly because she's giving hope to little girls all around the country that they can drive a car and be anything that they want to be, even though she walks around bow-legged like her dick is getting in the way of her thighs. I blame Danica for the world's problems, and Paul Ryan is a piece of shit. He should be drug out in the middle of the street and served a cease and desist order from my lawyer.
Indeed. Who is your lawyer? Is Mr. Saul Bellow, correct?
Yes.
A fine attorney indeed.
Saul is my lawyer. If anyone has any legal questions, contact Saul. And if anyone is wondering or worried about the Russell League, if you direct your attention to the Russell League's Twitter account, we have posted a picture and a statement from our lawyer, anyone who is being an aggressor towards the Russell League. Thank you very much.
Well done. Well done.
Speaking of Twitter accounts, if you guys didn't know, me and Antichrist, also have our very own Twitter account. It is Third Rail Radio. Check it out.
Yes, indeed, we do. Thanks, Dalek. Thanks for bringing that up. I was snowed in today. We got a good 20 inch of nasty snow. So had some time on my hands, set up a Twitter account for that. And Dalek and I have planned out a few episodes ahead of time, and we'll get the schedule posted up. So if anybody wants to prepare and call in, that would be killer. And we should have some interesting topics. We'll try to, solve all the world's problems in an hour on Blog Talk Radio, 1 hour at a time, I guess I should say.
Hitler did nothing wrong.
That's a Black Messiah jam right there.
Sorry, I forgot to take my Tourette's medicine tonight, so I just I tend to just scream stuff out. I'm sorry.
It's your Tourette's is welcome here. This is a tolerance zone.
Knuckle cut shit.
Speaking of tolerance zone, if you haven't watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I suggest you watch it. I recommend it highly. I slept on it. I didn't really pick up on it when it first came out, but I started watching it. It is absolutely hysterical. The humor is dark. They push the envelope.
You can't go wrong with Dan DeVito.
What's that?
Can't go wrong with Danny DeVito.
Oh my God, dude, he is too much, man. His poker games with the one-eyed Chinese people in the corner, taking LSD. It is a highly recommended comedic or half hour of television. The writers are really great. That's my pop endorsement for the evening. But just back to the the whole politic kind of nonsense for one more minute before we do final thoughts, you know, just to drive home the point that, you know, the same exact playbook is being used down in Venezuela with Maduro. And the reason I think it's important to kind of keep your eyes on these things is because of the fact that, that the old playbook really isn't working as well as it used to, you know, indigenous people in some of these countries are forming together and resisting. And more importantly, the intellect, or not more importantly, but maybe something that has more impact is a lot of the intellectuals and some of the wealthy people who aren't entrenched in the Western corporate matrix, you know, are starting to say, you know, enough is enough. And you know, once enough countries do start saying enough is enough, then it leaves a window for somebody like Mr. Putin to come in and sort of co-opt that energy. And you know, and Mr. Putin is not somebody to be taken lightly. So, and I think, again, I think our last show I made the point, just keep your eyes on Turkey. There, things continue to sort of move towards a situation that's not unfamiliar at all in Turkey and Budapest, but it seems to be flaring up again. And I know Turkey is a NATO ally, quote unquote, but you know, they may have had enough. They may have seen the writing on the wall and the playbook being implemented one too many times, and may turn away from the NATO. But Dalek, you want to play one more tune, and then we'll come back with some closing thoughts?
Okie dokie. Okay, so. All right, so.
The next tune you played last time.
All right, I'm going to try to somebody's mind and close my eyes and click on a thingy. Up.
Whatever, still kick it with the footwork of Freddie Adu. It's all new. Now the rap commissioners, they wanna clone my shoe, but the road's now, it is difficult to climb with the heat. The wind and the falling rocks combine, it's hard to stay aligned. The course is an obstacle within each chamber, the force is unstoppable. Lyrical swordsmen blaze sharp or cut out your heart. MCs want no part of any type of conflict, because then I respond quick, it gets sick. The problem goes beyond sick.
For press use only, Baby Grand Records.
With Anti-Crisis, CNY Rebel, and me.
Nagger.
Alright, so let's go down to final thoughts.
Rebel, can you give us a little lowdown, a little update on the March Madness bracket? When remind everybody when's the draw?
Bracket Challenge, go there, sign. I'll tweet out the link. Go to the distraction. That means the brackets will be set on Sunday.
Are you treating it right?
You'll hear more out of it.
I think Subasco is. Linking us.
Whoa. Uh-oh. He just dropped off the line. Uh-oh. So, you know what?
I think you got all a right. Digital cease and desist order.
Uh-oh. All right. So, my final thought, everything, exterminate the state. Thank you guys for listening to the show. And don't get dolphin raped.
Sound advice, Dallas. Do not get dolphin raped, and do not get dolphin gang raped, even more importantly. My final thoughts are thanks for tuning in. It's really fun to be part of this and to get to spew my rhetoric, and hope you find it informational and informative. Heck, I think we're done, but let's find that plane. Thanks a lot, guys. Much love.
All right, we are in overtime, and we have everybody on. Everybody.
Is that me and you? All right, I gotta run and just.
No,
verify.
We got another caller. I put on.
I gotta just run and verify this address for somebody with a T-shirt real quick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can. Yeah, you can do that.
Because I don't want anybody getting antsy, and just anybody who has. So so I'm gonna go take care of that. But yo, I'm gonna pare down those notes and or actually probably expand them a little. But we can get the shows planned and scheduled, and then post them on our Twitter account. And I'll DM you the password to the Twitter account.
All right, cool.
Awesome, brother, man. Thank you. You did awesome tonight.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, that was fun, brother.
Yeah, all right. So
so the next show, probably do education reform.
Yes, I mean, that was a very important thing to me because, you know, I mean, personally me, I've looked at a lot of the information that I've, like, really put around, and I've had my own personal experience of education, and I don't really think it's the best thing, and I think we should actually talk about it and see what we can really do instead of what we, the bureaucrats, think they do. I mean, I think that would be a good show.
Yeah. I definitely do, and I think my wife's a principal. I grew up in a family of educators, and I have a lot of thoughts on it. And there's a number of alternatives that are emerging that have actually been around long enough to consider them as more than just a flash in the pan of, like, charter schools or something. And we can talk about those because some of them, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they must be expensive, it's private school or whatever, but, you know, a lot of them are either heavily subsidized or have endowments and they give away tons of scholarship money. So there are a lot of alternatives because, yeah, mainstream media is, or mainstream education, the new core curriculum is it's garbage. It funnels people, more towards like a sort of one dimensional existence. Like you learn to think even less analytically than you did even 5-10 years ago.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, really, the common, if we're going to, you don't even have to have any free thought. I mean, some of the Texas Republicans actually kind of went around the bill and actually said, you know, no critical thinking. So bye-bye with that. And it's just absolutely so fucking ridiculous. It's not even right. I want to think critically. I mean, most kids do.
Yeah. Well, and most kids do. That's the crazy thing is that's the natural inclination of the brain is to have insight, to consider oneself, and that means being able to think analytically and critically. It's actually it's anti-intuitive. It has to be institutionalized out of them. There's that old thing like, you know, every baby is born a genius. It's the system or the surroundings that beat them into being an idiot.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean,
yeah, so we'll rock that show. We'll definitely put it, and I think I get some cool guests too. So,
awesome. You know what? With the whole thing, I mean, I looked around like more of like the really fringe kind of side about education, more of like more like mind control and stuff like that. I mean, have you ever read The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America? Out of curiosity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the brainwashing component to it, you know. Taken directly from psychoanalytical textbooks and research books and strategies developed from by people as early as like Freud and Carl Jung Freud's great nephew is like the mastermind of Madison Avenue. God damn it, his name is escaping me right now. But he basically established like the whole the whole mentality, the way that that institutions or corporations interchangeably would approach breaking down an individual and making them more pliable. God damn it, what is it? But he, you know, he came up with marketing, branding.
I know who you're talking about. It's just, it does, the name just kind of went away. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, it's, even for him, yeah, that's somebody, Alan, David Aker is more contemporary, but the Aker model, is you should check that out. It's pretty much like MK Ultra rewritten to be applied like through ethical parameters like in workplace or at schools. Pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, not only that, wasn't like some of the factions of MK Ultra and like the Nazi scientists were actually in the education realm.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah,
like I mean that's where Hitler really dug in was with the schools. You know, that's where he could. You know, that's where minds were the most supple, and his indoctrination was the most effective. You know, like the Nazi youth, he had all sorts of clubs like that, which ironically, Obama does too. Maybe not so ironically.
I know that you've probably heard of Project Paperclip.
Yeah,
which is the whole German Nazi scientist going into the U.S., not even going down to the Nuremberg trials, which was absolutely just the most...
Of our nuclear program would be convicted of war crimes in any other moment in history except for that one odd little coincidence that we needed him so bad to cross the T's and dot the I's of the our atom bomb. Man, he was like one of the most like sadistic of the Nazi scientists, and he would have people who either had some education who were in concentration camps and working in his labs, or even sometimes like low-ranking Nazi scientists, if they weren't working up to his standard or within his time frame, just to have them taken out and summarily executed.
Yeah.
Gerber, you know, he's like you know, no better than Gerber, but he could build and design a rocket. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the most interesting part about it is, like, now, not only that was a really, really cool part. I mean, like, my old teacher, he's still a great friend of mine. I mean, he was talking about, like, George Orwell has actually got the influence of 1984 because of the German U-2 rockets.
Yes,
that's an interesting.
Yes. That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't really surprise me at all. I was like, oh yeah, I can understand that.
You know, if Hitler wasn't batshit crazy, you know, he probably would have come a lot closer to taking Europe. You know, because they had a lot of things going in their direction as far as, you know, the economy was bad. A lot of things that could be co-opted and and the people's, the workers' energy could be sort of channeled in any different ways. And Hitler was right there and happened, you know, to be a pretty charismatic and a orator of exceptional talent. But yeah, it is interesting, to see like how when something needs to be justified, like forgiving a war criminal whose peers, colleagues, comrades are being hung at Nuremberg because of a certain skill, that takes a certain level of cognitive dissonance, man. You know?
Yeah. You know what? Here's my best motto when I talk to other people. I always say, if you instantly like the person, don't trust them.
That's a good saying, man. It really is.
If they're really that charismatic, if you instantly like the person, don't trust them at all, because probably that person is going to be that using that kind of ideals as a nefarious, evil-doing, yeah.
Exactly. It's true. I mean, it does hark back a little bit to, like, the Buddhist saying, like, if you meet the Buddha on the road, you know, run away. That's a great point. Through my own, anecdotal evidence, have come to that same conclusion. If somebody presents the first time with sort of an obnoxious, over-the-top sort of charisma and almost like used car salesman, hell yeah, brother, run. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. All right, well, we will chat soon, my friend.
All right, my friend. You know what? All right. I'll see you later. Great. This was an awesome show. I definitely gotta give some props to you because, you know, you were so spot on. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. And you know what? I hope I was on spot on too.
You were, brother. You were spot on. We're getting better and better, man. So it's a lot of fun. I love doing it with you. And we'll just keep getting better, man.
Thanks. All right, see you,
man.
Bro.
In the Twitterverse.
Peace out. Thank you for listening, whoever you are. Definitely really awesome.